Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. God has definitely been good to us. And so I want to talk about today on this. I brought videos with me. Lord's willing, you guys will be able to see some of the videos. But I want to talk about in this executive order series, a journey through what you never knew about the Ten Commandments. What you never knew about the Ten Commandments, okay? A journey through what you never knew about the Ten Commandments. Last week, in two minutes, a quick recap. Basically, whatever God said or what God says is his executive orders. And the Ten Commandments, highlighting the Ten Commandments, the famous Ten Commandments. So I've taken for granted the Ten Commandments. I know them. I try to honor my mom. I try to honor my dad. I try to not tell a fib. Try not to tell a lie. Amen. But today we're going to highlight what you never knew about the Ten Commandments. God knew he needed executive orders before Israel's own moral code or moral system got out of hand. Last week we talked about avoiding what? TSR. TSR is basically a way that what? Seems right. So God knew Israel needed interruption with his executive orders because their own TSR was going to get out of hand. What do I mean? We get a glimpse of this DIY like in life with Israel and this BK, have it your way. Did I say that right? So Israel was trying to basically BK have it their way, their own lifestyle. Right before the Ten Commandments, Israel was wilding out. Actually, in Genesis, we know that mankind was wilding out. Was human behavior over the years revealed that we are not good people. I mean, from the beginning of time, we just revealed that, man, we were made in God's image, and God said we were good, but, man, our flesh kept getting the best of us. And we see a glimpse from Israel, ungratefulness. Cain did what? He killed Abel. He killed his own brother. We see greed. We see deception. We see impatience. We see a blatant disobedience to God with acts of worship or with acts like the golden calf worship. And so I was trying to, okay, I want to show some of the footage as I'm talking. But God knew we needed interruption with his executive orders. And this is, if I turn around, it may be that this is basically footage that's still there. This site is still there. This is basically some picture that you see here. I didn't get to show this last time, but you see this is the area where Israel would have put the golden calf on this rock formation and do what? Commit what? Idolatry. They worship something that was man-made. And you can actually see Mount Sinai in the distance. It's in the distance, and I want to say this may be Mount Sinai, but you can see Mount Sinai in the distance where Moses would have had a view of this golden calf altar, this golden calf worship. And can you start it over, Sweets? And the reason why this is really, really important, because you actually see the carvings that you can pause it here. Can you pause it here? So you see, I mean, they left messages that they were doing something that was God forbidden. Moses was literally on the mountain seeing this go down. He was hearing this go down. And then you actually see here somebody, maybe a seeker or maybe an archaeologist, tried to get a cast, I think that's what it's called, of some of this. So they're not supposed to do this, but this is so historical. They're trying to get copies of this because this is so ancient. And so God knew that he needed to stop this mess. And so he needed to send the Ten Commandments, and he needed to do it a certain way. The executive orders issued by the presidents here on earth seems to try to fix things or to right a wrong. And do y'all remember the president that wrote over 3,000 executive orders from last week? What was his name? Roosevelt. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go Eagles. But when the president, whoever the president is, now every president have issued executive orders. We're expected to follow suit after the orders are signed. But it is not the same with God, who is more powerful than president. Amen. And I know we're excited that God, we're happy that God is more powerful than the president. Whatever president over the years that may have been your favorite president, but we know God is powerful than any president on earth, any prime minister, any leader on earth. God is more powerful. But many of God's executive orders has the word if. Remember today's message, a teaching is a journey through what? A journey through if. A journey through if. Many of God's executive orders has if in front of it. Everybody say if. If. So it's a choice. It's free will. Like, we're not made to honor or obey God's executive orders. We have the option to ignore, or we have the option to ignite God's word. Everybody say ignite. Or ignore. So many of God's commandments have, maybe I'll lift about two or three of these. 2 Chronicles 7:14, read it with me. Ready, set, go. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. God is saying, hey, if you want healing, you just got to get past the if. The ball is in your court. Amen. And Lord knows we need God to step in America. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This if, ready, set, read. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, Christ. If you are new, if you get past this if, and this if is in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. John 15:7 says, if, read with me, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Don't ignore what comes after the if. Amen. Because it is life changing and it's transformational. Romans 10:9, many of us in this room can run around this church and be glad when we die, we're going to heaven. Amen. Went to two funerals this week, but every funeral, everybody that laid up here in the casket, they died in God. They died in the Lord. Amen. Because of this, Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And you will have eternal life. John 14:15 says what? If you love me, do what? Keep my commandments, a.k.a. executive orders. If you love me, keep my commandments. I'll just start with Alpheus, not keeping God's commandments because perhaps I'm having some love issues. All right? Y'all don't have to say ouch because I said my name. Amen? I have love issues, perhaps. Amen. Why are you not keeping God's commandments? I have to always check my relationship with God. Amen. And I'm not talking about the outer Alpheus. I'm talking about the inner Alpheus. That makes sense? The inner Alpheus. So the if before the Ten Commandments, because we're talking about the Ten Commandments today, things that you did not know about the Ten Commandments. I didn't realize this, but in Exodus 19, it has a huge if. Right before the Ten Commandments. Let's read it. Exodus 19:3. Ready, set, go. Then Moses went up to God. Sweets. I'm going to read this. Can you just show a video to make it interesting? Since we spent all that time downloading and transferring and for our family to see it. Then Moses went up to God and the Lord called him from the mountain. Everybody say from the mountain. This is what you are to say from the descendants of Jacob, what you are to tell the people of Israel. Moses received these instructions from this mountain that we're climbing right now. Not right now, but we climbed. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt. Everybody say, what I did to Egypt. What I did to Egypt. This is God talking to Moses. He said, you have seen what I did to Egypt. Number one. Number two, how I carried you on eagle's wings. That's really important. Number three, how I brought you to myself. If you're taking notes, this is what you would have at. How I brought, number one, what I did in Egypt. Number two, how I carried you on eagle's wings. Number three, how I brought you to myself. Pause it, please, sweets. Just a little show and tell. This is, I don't know if we showed this last week, but this is Mount Sinai. This is the base of Mount Sinai. This is the altar of Moses. This is a river here where the priests would wash after killing, sacrificing the animals. And Moses would have said, hey, Israel, y'all stay down here. I'm going up. And he had to go up. We went up, guys. He went up. Elijah's cave is on the right here. And there's a place where God would have told Moses to go. God says, I will hide you in a cleft of a rock. It's on this mountain is a perfect place to hide Moses. It is crazy. Amen. And so Moses would have gone up this mountain in Arabia, and he would have heard three things. He told Moses, remember, you yourselves have seen, write it down, what I did in Egypt, how I carried you on eagle's wings, and how I brought you to myself. Then he says, if, everybody say if. If you obey me, my executive orders, and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you can unpause it, sweets. Out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. If you obey my executive orders, then good will obviously happen to you. Amen? Anybody want good to happen to you the rest of this year? It's so easy. We just got to get past the if. And I'm not talking about an external good. I am talking about an internal good. Amen? Amen? I'm talking about peace. I'm talking about tranquility. I'm talking about just pleasures forevermore. And that's immaterial. That's my spirit just feeling good. Amen. Not me looking good in my pinstripe suit. I knew it was going to come up. Because somebody told me, don't take that off. And I said, nope, God deserves the best. I'm telling you, my wife is a beautiful bully. She knows how to humble you. Remember, number one, what I did in Egypt. Write this down. In Exodus, pretty much in all of Exodus, God, what did God do in Egypt? Because God is saying to Moses, remember what I did in Egypt. He sent the 10 plagues in Exodus 7 through 12. But then also in Egypt, where Goshen is to the left. Remember the last time that I mentioned to you guys that we were in Goshen maybe a couple of months ago. And this is where God told Israel to go to this prepared place in Egypt. This is in Egypt. So in the scripture we just read, I did in Egypt. It's remember what I did in Egypt. This is what God did in Egypt. He protected them from the 10 plagues in this location right here. Amen? And then before they exited Egypt, they loaded up on the bag. They got the coins. Amen? The Bible says before leaving, the Israelites took what? Gold, silver, and clothing from the Egyptians. Now, I don't know what they were going to do with all that money in the wilderness. But God's ways is higher than my ways, because I'm like, what they gonna buy? Ain't nobody out there. Say it again. The tap. Absolutely. Absolutely. Just my teaching. See, y'all see that proof? Y'all see that proof right there? What they gonna do with all this gold? But obviously they're gonna build. Do we got the footage of where they said the tabernacle would be, maybe from the last time? We got so much footage. But there's this place where the tabernacle would, perfect place for Israel to build the tabernacle. And like I said, God deserves the best. That's why I wore my pin. This is only two times I want to say it. My pinstripe suit. But this is proof that God deserves the best and he wants the best, because the wealth of the wicked is what? Laid up for the just. Number two, remember I said God reminded Moses how I carried you on what? Eagle's wings. So write down Exodus. You can write down all of Exodus, really. You can dig in that. But God protected Israel from the enemies by basically providing an angel to be in front of them. Amen. And also behind them when they travel. So basically, Israel had a holy bodyguard. Amen. My mom, I ate brunch with mom. It was on Valentine's Day. And mom said, I just escaped a car wreck. She said, I just saw the car come by me, flipped over and turned over. Angels, like we're so close to calamity. And in Exodus 14, God protected Israel from enemies with an angel of God. If y'all don't believe that God has angels protecting us from Zion, it's not spooky, it's not Halloween, it's holy. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is what? In heaven. God wants us whole and healthy and protected. He's got angels protecting us. God also provided a pillar of cloud that moved with Israel, standing between them and the army. So there is a wedge. I mean, the enemy may get close, but he ain't going to touch you. Amen. Somebody shout, can't touch this. Can't touch it. Can't touch this. Can't touch me. You can look, but you can't shop. Amen. It's called window shopping. So God's constant presence and care and supernatural strength is what we're calling here eagle's wings. Amen. And then remember the third one. How I what? What I did in Egypt. Number two, what else? How I carried you on eagle's wings. And then number three was what? How I brought you to myself. I brought you to myself. Amen. Exodus 6, if you want to turn there. Exodus 6, verse 7. I don't have it on the screen. It says, I will take you as my own people. This is God talking. And I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of Egyptians. Number three, how I brought you to myself. When it's your time, it's your season, and when God has chosen you, if your marriage is favored, it's going to thrive. Amen? If your family is favored, it's a wrap. Amen? This church is marked and favored by God. I don't care what it looks like. How I brought you to myself. The house of Judah is going to be all right. Y'all better smile. Let me see all teeth and be bubbly. How I brought you to his word will not come back void. Not only is the house of Judah is going to be all right, going to be better than ever. Amen. In days, weeks, and years to come. Amen. Don't that feel good? Amen. How I brought you to myself. Exodus 19. Exodus 6, 7. This brings us to the main attraction today. Hopefully, I don't feel like I was rushing, but got a lot to cover. The main attraction, Exodus 20, which is the Ten Commandments. Amen? The Ten Commandments. So Exodus 19, basically, when you read it, you're going to see thundering. You're going to see thunder, lightning, smoke. I'm going from memory. Mount Sinai. If you could pull up a picture of Mount Sinai, we've got more footage. This mountain literally was shaking. Think about a loud trumpet. So now it takes us to this account in Exodus. So Exodus 19 and Exodus, this happened before Exodus 20, where God is basically telling us, or he is giving us executive orders. And what you never knew about the Ten Commandments, if you already knew this, Don't tell me. I'm already humble now. Y'all, I live with humble. Somebody just humbling me. Amen. She lifts me up and she humbles me. She's about ready to humble me if I keep talking like this. I got the mic. What you didn't know about the Ten Commandments, at least it be news to me, but maybe not be news to you. I didn't know those, they were given twice. So the first time they were given, Moses was angry and he broke the first set. I mean, literally broke the first set for good reasons. Because remember on the mountain, Moses saw, that you just saw on the screen here, Moses saw the Israelites worshiping the golden calf. And so maybe he broke them by accident. I don't know, the Bible don't say, but maybe he broke them on purpose. But he took the commandments. And so anyway, there's a second set in Exodus 34. So there's a set in Exodus 34:1, and then there's another set in Deuteronomy 5. So it's listed twice with slight variations on wording and emphasis on the Sabbath. Amen. Number two, what you guys may have not known, that the Ten Commandments reflect the 10 plagues of Egypt. They reflect the 10 plagues of Egypt, which is really, it's bad to the bone of God to do that, to basically say, Egypt, I know you have, Israel, I know you have witnessed the 10 plagues, but this 10 commandments is going to reflect the 10 plagues. I don't have time to deal with that today because I want to highlight something else. But number three, it was written by the finger of God. And that's anthropomorphic, meaning, God doesn't have a finger, by the way. Y'all know that, right? He's God. He doesn't need a finger. What God needs a finger for? But that's the best we can do. Amen. The Bible says it was written by the finger of God, which is not like our finger. The Bible specifically states that the commandments were written by the finger of God in Exodus 31. Number four, there is a chiastic structure. Okay. And so everybody get two hands up. So this is commandment number one, commandment number two, commandment number five. And then this hand, commandment number what? So chiastic structure is basically like this mirroring or this like, it's like symmetric. It's symmetric. Commandment number six, commandment number seven, commandment number eight, commandment number nine, commandment number 10. And so commandment number one mirrors commandment number 10. All right. And I may get to this today and then so on and so on. And then five and six, if you go backwards, it couples together. One and 10, so on and so on and so on. So I'll come back to that prayerfully. So, boom, on the screen here. I told y'all last week, she's on point. So number five, go back to the last one. So when God wrote the Ten Commandments on the tablets or the stone, did he write it in English? We're talking about Yahweh. How did he get that message to us? What language did he write it in? Because he couldn't write it in a heavenly language. Why not? We wouldn't understand it. So it had to be, this is what I love about God. He is so above us. I'm trying to find words, as you can see. He is so way out there. He is so unexplainable, but yet so tangible. I absolutely don't understand why I had to go to one of my students' funeral yesterday. But he says to me, she never died. She just changed locations. Plus, she was a believer. She's happy right now. Y'all sad, but she is happy. She said, I don't want to come back down there. Amen? He is so awesome, but yet so tangible that what did he write? Was it English? Was it Hebrew? Was it Aramaic? Was it Spanish? Was it Papiamento? So it is said that he wrote, or that Moses and the children of Israel would have understood Hebrew at this time. So he had to write it in Hebrew. Not just any Hebrew, but it is called actually Paleo Hebrew. Amen. Everybody say Paleo Hebrew. Basically, it's the language that God likely wrote with his finger. To me, it symbolizes God's, he would do whatever it takes so we can understand him. No excuses. Everybody say no excuses. God made this thing plain. He put it in Paleo Hebrew. Amen. And so we're going to, yes, I'm going to call up somebody to potentially mimic me. And Paleo Hebrew is basically the writing system, again, used by the Israelites during that time. So imagine God, Moses is on the mountain, and God is talking to Moses, but then eventually he, with his finger, he writes some Paleo Hebrew on the tablet. And this is reason why I did this earlier, and it felt special, because if God wrote in Hebrew, Paleo Hebrew, and I'm mimicking what that would have looked like, it just feels very special to me. That makes sense. God did not write the Ten Commandments in English. Amen. He did not write the Ten Commandments in English. And so the letter A in English, though, comes from Hebrew, and it's called Aleph. Or write this down. Everybody say Aleph or Aleph. In Paleo Hebrew, it would have looked something like this. So you have this here, and then you have this looking thing here that kind of comes down to a point here, and then comes back up here. This is, in Hebrew, a ox head, which has a lot of connotations. The B in the English language comes from Paleo, and y'all okay? Y'all bored? This is fun. It comes from the Hebrew word, or the Paleo Hebrew word, bet. And it's basically translated, they would have understood this letter to mean tent. Okay? And it goes down like this. And this eventually ends up being what we know in the English alphabet, bet. So when you see Paleo Hebrew, or you see it on YouTube or Google, or if you research in books, if you take a class, then the Ten Commandments would have been written, and it would have looked like this. And they would have understood God's, Yahweh's, executive order. Even though it was in Paleo Hebrew, it was from the finger of God, signed, sealed, and delivered. That's the type of God I serve. Signed, sealed, and delivered. All right? If you don't mind. So clap your hands for God being that connected to us. You can take it out. I think I'm done with it. That means God says, all right, you're done with the lesson. Let me end with this today. Ain't that cool? Let me give you one thing. So just because I am fascinated with this, just know the Godfather language was Egyptian hieroglyphs. From there, it transitioned to what we call the, not the Godfather, but the Father language. And it was this proto-Sinaitic script. Then it transitioned to what I just lifted, this baby language, what we're calling the baby language, which is Paleo Hebrew, okay? And then eventually Aramaic, and then eventually modern Hebrew, and then it split, and then we have Latin, and then we eventually have English, what we know as English. God is going to get his executive orders to us. That's really what I'm trying to say. Because that's a lot to go through for us to understand it. Makes sense? The way we, I mean, even with how we're studying the Bible through our, Western lens, it should be confronted. It should be adjusted because it didn't originate here. Make sense? The culture, so we really, even in the season, we should dig, really try to just dig and mine. It may be boring. It may be sleepy. But let's dig, because what is the application of this? When you dig and study God's word like this, you will realize that maybe I'm off in this area and maybe I'm not getting results in this area because I don't understand. And you need some things to be unlocked in your life. Amen. We're doing all right, but we can do better. Amen. Yep. I want to know God a lot better. But to end today, the Ten Commandments can be broken down in three categories. Number one, it is about the relationship with God, the Creator. Number two, the relationship that we should have with others, community. And then number three could be said that it's about he wants us to have great character when we read God's word. When you read in the Ten Commandments, look at it from the lens of what is God saying, how we should react and honor him as creator. How should we treat each other? I mean, me guys, I'm okay with the Ten Commandments being in schools. It doesn't bother me. Amen? I know, you know, whether it's forced or voted on or allowed, I know some Christians are saying, no shade, no, don't. It shouldn't be in schools. We shouldn't force. But why not? Amen. Why not allow God things? Does that make sense? Schools juxtaposed with other God awful things. Does that make sense? And then, of course, because if it's dealing with us honoring God as creator and how we should treat others, and then the really nice one is having character, which is basically integrity. That's what we need in the world today. Amen. We need all of this. We need all of this to be lifted, celebrated. Clap your hands if you enjoyed this teaching. Thank you, Lord, for this teaching today. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us you have a way. You have a way of speaking to us, even from ancient times. You love us. You want the best for us. You are hurt when you see us hurting ourselves. Thank you for intervening. Thank you for interrupting. Thank you for changing the course through your spirit. Thank you for this teaching today and what it represents. It represents a lot. In a day like today, we need your spirit. We need your love. We need your care. We need your comfort. We know that you sent your son Jesus to fulfill the law. We thank you for your son Jesus that obviously makes it easier, but we know that Jesus has upped the ante. As humans, as flesh, we're going to disappoint you. We're going to lie. We're not going to be the best, but we're coming to you right now, humble, asking you to wash us clean, purge us with hyssop, so we can be in right fellowship with you. Wash this church. Wash everybody in this church with your blood, with your spirit. We want to be on one accord, not about a political party, but about Jesus, you being the only way. We want to be on one accord. We may not see eye to eye on X, Y, Z, but we all agree that Jesus, you are the only way. You are a healer. Our trust is not in a job. Our trust, we all agree that our trust is in you. We all agree you. And we leave today agreeing and on one accord that you are a true and living God. There is none like you. There is none like you. There is none like you. We are happy because of not a vacation. We all will agree that we are happy because of you. We're not happy because of a plane ticket. We're happy because of you. We're not happy because of a good meal. We all agree that we are happy because of you. In your presence, there's fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Our hands are lifted. We're all on one accord. That our hands are lifted to a living, true, awesome God. If you agree, clap your hands and say amen.